We are into our second hour. What's going on? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. Hour number one flew right by, and we talked a lot of hockey. Lots of hockey. Jim Trotter came in, and we talked NFL with him. But, you know, I'm going to make my prediction. And for whatever reason, man, I'm wrong about so many things, but never the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't know why it is. I don't question it. I just know that to be true. So my prediction coming up a little bit later on, I want you to come in with yours right now. We are in the Quicken Loan Studios in Southern California. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Maybe you're not sure who you're going to pick. Maybe you want to look at the postseason ahead. Joining me right now is an analyst for NHL Network. He played in the NHL 11 seasons. He helped lead the Carolina Hurricanes to the 2002 Stanley Cup Final. He was a second-round draft pick back in 1993. NHL Network is going to have the national telecast of Game 1 featuring New Jersey at Tampa Bay tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can watch Kevin Weeks on NHL Network's NHL Tonight throughout the entire postseason. He joins us right now. Kevin, it's good to have you on the show. How are you?
Romy, thanks so much, man. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate that kind intro. And a shout-out to our good mutual friend and one of our top hosts in Tony Luffman. So shout-out to T. Luff. He's always speaking super highly of you. He's singing your praises all the time. So just a shout-out to Tony as well.
Yeah, Kevin, it's great to have you on. I really mean that. And Tony Luffman, I was going to ask you about Luffman towards the end, but since you bring him up, you guys share a set together. My man is one of the all-time great energy guys. He's so positive. He's so enthusiastic. What's it like to work with him?
Awesome. We share a lot of the same vibe that way, and he's just a breath of fresh air. He's a great person. He comes from a great family as well. He brings that energy. He brings the professionalism, that level of passion. And you know, having played in the league a long time, those are the guys that you want in the locker room. That's the type of personality that I love being around in the locker room, be it on the bus, be it on the plane, at games, you name it, in practice. Those are the guys that I kind of gravitate towards. So. Tone and I have a great synergy. He's great for our team, more importantly. And I don't think you're going to find anybody that has a bad thing to say or should have a bad thing to say about Tony. And his late mom, when I had the chance to meet her, was outstanding as well. And so too is his dad. They're great people. So the apple doesn't usually fall too far from the tree. We're blessed to have him on our side.
Listen, if you got a problem with Tony Luffman, you got a problem with yourself. Kevin Weeks joining us.
Yeah,
all right, so Kevin, the playoffs start tonight. Yep. I've been trying to make the argument, Kevin, that the NHL postseason is the best postseason, and I'm still getting a lot of pushback from people who don't understand the sport. I mean, the postseason in football, baseball, basketball, it's all a grind, but there's nothing like the NHL postseason. What does it take from a mental and physical standpoint to get through each round and then to the Stanley Cup final?
Okay, so the first put, let's qualify this. I've got friends in every league and every sport. Where there's a mutual admiration society, as you know. We all love and respect everybody's specific sport of choice. So I love all that. But you're absolutely right. There should be no pushback for any of you listeners out there, any of you fans out there. Get to a game. Get to a Stanley Cup playoff game. I don't care if it's a Ducks game, if it's a Sharks game, if it's a Kings game. Since you're out there in SoCal and you're in Cal in general, all three California teams are going to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is amazing, once again, to have for our league. But in saying that, there's nothing like it. I mean, the intensity, the toughness, the tenacity, the competitive spirit. And I can tell you this, man, it's so demanding mentally, psychologically, spiritually, physically. It's so demanding each and every game. Each and every regular season NHL game is demanding. You can multiply that by about 5-6x in a Stanley Cup playoff game. The things I've seen and experienced in playoffs, in terms of injury, nature of injury, that guys are playing, walking, wounded, basically. And that's with no disrespect to our men and women in the military who, you know, obviously defend our freedom and ensure that. I've got a lot of family and friends in the military, so shout out to anybody in the service. But from a sports standpoint, the things that our guys play through, it's just basically unspeakable, really. So there's nothing like the Stanley Cup playoffs. But you know what else, Romy, too? It's the unpredictability. That's what it is. I mean, you can get an 8 seed, go ahead like the Nashville Predators last year, and go all the way to Stanley Cup final and take Pittsburgh to 6 games. And then that same 8 seed from last year in Nashville now is the top team in the league, having won the President's Trophy, finishing first overall this year. And now all of a sudden the expectations are squarely on their shoulders. So every round, I think, is hyper-competitive, every game, every shift. And I'll put it to you this way, right? Growing up as a kid in Toronto and, you know, being a top prospect and all the rest of it, I was like, yeah, man, I know what it's all about. I know what Stanley Cup playoffs are all about. I'm watching it. I'm consuming it as a fan. I get into the minors, work my way up, I get into the NHL. When I got into the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, I realized how much I didn't know. Okay, Winnipeg Jets coach Paul Maurice, who was our then coach with the Hurricanes in 02 during our improbable run to the Cup final, I remember him telling me in his office, Breeksy, you're going to go. You're starting. You're starting this next game.
Right.
I want you to put them out there. I want them to be big. I want you to let them hang down. I want you to put them out there. Put them on the line. This is your game. Man,
incredible.
I floated. I floated out of his office. Literally, I felt like I was levitating out of his office. So finally getting to play in the Stanley Cup playoffs, man, there's nothing like it. Nothing.
Kevin Weeks joining us. He's with the NHL Network. You can watch him once again. They've got the national telecast of Game 1 featuring New Jersey at Tampa Bay. You know, Kevin, I could talk to you about a million different things. I can go a number of different ways. But when I think about the fact that you played goalie and you played it when you played it, this is really off topic. But we've got a podcast, and I had a conversation for the first time yesterday with Clint Mlarchuk. Uh-huh. And, you know, yes. His story is absolutely amazing. Do you remember what you were thinking when you saw him badly hurt on the ice in 1989?
I do. I grew up watching Clint Mlarchuk. In fact, I had Clint Mlarchuk posters because he wore Vaughn goalie equipment, and I wore Vaughn for the better part of my career as well. And I remember watching that game. I'm from Toronto. You know, it's only an hour and a half drive from my parents' house in Toronto to Buffalo as he was playing for the Sabres then at their old arena at the Auditorium in Buffalo. I mean, I remember watching it. My dad and I were watching it, and we were basically speechless. We didn't know what to do. We didn't even know what to say. We were watching it in shock. We were in a state of shock, and we weren't even in the building. So for him to have been as calm as he was, and the medical staff at the arena to be, and the first responders really to be as calm and as efficient as they were, I mean, they saved his life when he took that skate to the juggler. And I've had the chance to see him since. He was an excellent goalie coach, by the way, as well. He had a big hand in Roberto Luongo for the Panthers. He's had a big hand in his success. And I've seen him numerous times since then, since I started doing TV. And just the chance to talk to him, he's a really fascinating guy, as I'm sure you found out yesterday. A lot of depth. He's a horse. I want to say he's either an equine chiropractor or an equine dentist as well, if not both. I know he's living out in Nevada and he had a ranch. So he's very well-rounded, but certainly he was able to overcome that life-threatening, literally life-threatening situation. It's just remarkable that he's been able to overcome that.
You know, I appreciate your thoughts on that, Kevin. And we've got a lot of listeners in Buffalo. In fact, this show is nationwide, so there's a lot of hockey fans listening who know that, and we'll have mm-hmm. more of that in the podcast. Now, the playoffs do get underway. You have the Devils at the Lightning tomorrow night. The Lightning racked up 113 points in the regular season. It was the most in the East, but when you look at the way they play defense, Kevin, right now, their consistency, do they seem to you to be as buckled down or locked in as you'd expect a team with that record to be?
You're bang on right now. That's my one, I don't want to say concern, but area of focus that I'm going to be watching with the Tampa Bay Lightning as this goes on. I think the Lightning have an outstanding franchise. Steve Yzerman has been a maestro as their GM. So too has been John Cooper, and that coaching staff have done an outstanding job. Rick Bonus, Nigel Kerwin, and their goalie coach, Franchon. But the one thing in talking to players on that team and talking to the staff members is that's what Coach Cooper is telling them. Guys, we got to defend. Guys, we got to defend. We know we can score. We know we can fill the net. But if we want to win games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and ultimately we want to be the first of 16 wins and host that big silver mug, we've got to defend, and we've got to do it consistently, shift to shift, game to game, because Stanley Cup playoffs, as I tell Tony all the time, the rink shrinks, not physically, but regular dimensions of the rink are 200 by 85, 200 long by 85 wide. Come Stanley Cup playoffs, it feels like it's 150 by 50. It gets tight. It gets packed. It's difficult. You hear coaches talk about time and space. Well, there's less time and space to be able to make plays. So with all that being said, you might not be able to score your way, and you're highly unlikely to score your way to winning a Stanley Cup. You got to defend your way to give yourself a chance to win the Stanley Cup. That's something with Tampa that's been very inconsistent this season at different times, albeit they've had a tremendous season. Their captain, Steve Stamkos, and Kucherov have had outstanding years, as has their young goalie, Vasilevsky, for the first three quarters of the season. But if they don't buckle down, don't be surprised if the Devils don't give them a run. And I think the Devils will give them a run anyways. John Hines has done an outstanding job, and Ray Shiro with the Devils just literally up Route 3 and Route 21 from our NHL Network studios in our house here in Jersey. But I'm curious to see, Roman. I'm glad you asked that question. I'm curious to see Tampa Bay's commitment to defending. If they commit to defending, I think they win this series in six games, maybe even seven, if they commit to defending. If they don't be surprised if Jersey could pull off an upset.
Kevin Weeks joining us, retired NHL goalie and an analyst with the NHL Network. Hey, Kevin, if the toughest thing in all sports is to win a Stanley Cup, then maybe the next toughest thing, or maybe even tougher, is to defend a Stanley Cup. You've got the two-time defending champs in Pittsburgh. How do the Penguins look to you right now?
The Penguins are clicking. They're clicking. They're firing offensively. I spoke to Jimmy Rutherford, their GM. He told me openly about their quest for a three-peat. It's a unique situation. They're the first team since the Detroit Red Wings 97-98 to repeat. So they're looking at three-peat. It'll be the first team since the Islanders and the Islanders dynasty in the 80s. So they've got their sights set on that. They certainly have the offensive personnel. We know that already. Sidney Crosby, of course, leads the team. But Evgeny Malkin and my man Phil Kessel, who gets no love, who's been amazing. All two of those guys, anyways, will be future Hall of Famers. I really think Crosby, obviously, for obvious reasons. Malkin as well, but Phil Kessel, his track, he's got the chance to be a Hall of Famer as well, and those guys can sting you, and they all play apart from each other, Romy. That's the thing. So it's not as though they got to be on the ice at the same time on five at even strength. Those guys play independently of each other, and they maul you offensively. Then you throw those guys on the power play, and it's good night, nurse. So I love the way that they're playing offensively. My one worry with Pittsburgh, and it's a big worry, our Mike Ruff and I were talking about this the other day. You don't have that ace in the hole in Marc-Andre Fleury behind Matt Murray.
Right.
This isn't anything to do with Matt Murray. I've been a big Matt Murray guy since he was playing for Sault Ste. Marie in the OHL. I think Matt Murray, what he's done is unprecedented, winning two Stanley Cups in his, you know, his rookie years. But the bigger challenge is, heaven forbid, something goes wrong with him, or he goes down by way of injury, then what? That's a huge question mark in Pittsburgh for me. But I love the way they're playing offensively. I think this sets up to be a great series. The Battle of the Keystone State, Romy. The Battle of the Keystone State. We know Pennsylvania is a great sports state. And, of course, two great sports cities in Philly and Pittsburgh. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give the Flyers their due, what they've been able to accomplish this year. And their captain, Claude Giroux, along with Taylor Hall, from the Devils, and Andre Kopitar, I would say, and Nate McKinnon. Those guys are my Hart Trophy candidates right now for NHL MVP. So I think the Flyers are going to put up a good fight in this series, and Pittsburgh better not take them lightly because the Flyers are clicking too, and their offense is more multidimensional than people have given it credit for in the past.
You just are not going to get better analysis than this. Kevin, before I let you go, I got to ask you about the tragedy involving the Humboldt Broncos. And I bring this up because, and I mentioned this, and you can speak to this as well as anybody. I mean, literally everybody in that league, virtually everybody in that league has been on that bus. I mean, you guys, as juniors come up and you take those road trips, you ride those buses, you know. And it's been amazing the way the hockey community has responded, really the sporting community overall. What was your reaction? What are your thoughts?
Man, I'm glad that you afforded me the opportunity to talk about it. It's so tragic. It's horrific. It really is. I remember being a young player growing up and just aspiring to get on a bus. And then, you know, our youth hockey team at times, different tournaments, the world-famous Quebec Pee Wee Tournament as 13-year-olds. That was the first time we were on a bus for a tournament. And, you know, our parents are on the bus. We're all on it. We felt like we were in the NHL. At 13-year-olds, that's when it started. And then for some other tournaments, depending on proximity from Toronto, where I grew up, we'd take buses as well. And then when I got to Tier 2 Junior playing for St. Mike's Buzzers, and then the OHL playing in Owen Sound in Ottawa, I mean, we'd be going up and down Highway 401 from Ottawa at one end, the eastern end, all the way down to Windsor at the far end, which would lead us into Detroit. And, I mean, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. on the bus. Same thing when I was in the minors in the American League and the old IHL. Romy, I mean, a lot of my best memories, a lot of my fondest memories, my most impactful memories are those times on the bus and those times in the car with my parents going to tournaments. Those are lifelong bonds. And, you know, be it stopping at, you know, a truck stop and getting chicken fingers and fries, you know, stopping at Denny's when you're in the minors, the bus pull up, or Golden Corral, or whatever it is, Big Boy, and just those bonds. talking, watching movies together. Remember, it was back in the day with Blockbuster. You know this. Hey, boys, we got to make sure we get our movies right before we get on the road. What do we got? Who's going to Blockbuster? Hey, get Beverly Hills Cop. Hey, get this, get whatever. And it's so much time that's spent. It's such a big part of the fabric of our game. But more importantly, it's the human connection. That's what it is, right? It's talking to guys, hey, man, my mom's afflicted by this, or my younger sister just got into college or university or whatever the case may be. I mean, it's really difficult to quantify accurately how impactful the bus rides are, but it's a big part of our fabric, even at the NHL level. And sometimes, you know, I'm playing for the Rangers here up the street in New York or across the Hudson, and we're going to Philly, and we're busing to Philly. You know, it could have happened to anybody, and my heart goes out to the players, the families, the coaches, the staff, the fans, the entire Humboldt community. They're not in this alone. You know, fortunately, the hockey community is collectively strong, and you know, we walk with them in this, we mourn with them in this, we grieve with them in this, we support them in this, and it will continue to have to be, and has been, an outstanding collective effort of the greater hockey family, and it will continue to be that. And I can tell you, I talk to my mom and dad almost every day, and I spoke to them 2 days ago specifically after leaving the studio, and I could tell they were shaken up as I was. At times, I've even had some difficulty sleeping. I talked to a lot of guys about it. We had the rookie sensation, Matthew Barzal from the Islanders, in yesterday, and second-year impressive player Anthony Beauvillier. They were in our NHL Network studios, and we were talking about it off camera. It's really affected each and every one of us, man. So, as I said, shout out to all the great sports fans, all the great hockey fans. I know that there have been donations on their GoFundMe page from north of 60 countries around the world. And Romy, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a proud Bajan. My parents are from Barbados. I grew up in Canada, and I lived in the U.S. for a long time, so I'm fortunate to have those three great countries. Family that we have back in Barbados was talking to us about that tragedy. So it really has it's gotten global attention, but more importantly, it's gotten a lot of global support. And I think that's really the essence of what makes hockey the great sport that it is. And when you talked about it off the top, about how great and compelling the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs can be, that's what it's rooted in. Because it's rooted in family, it's rooted in community, and that's part of the connective tissue that makes our sport so great.
Beautifully stated. Kevin Weeks, my guest, an NHL Network analyst. He played 11 years in the NHL, and the NHL Network is going to have the national telecast of Game 1 featuring New Jersey at Tampa Bay tomorrow, once again, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can watch Kevin on NHL Network's NHL Tonight throughout the playoffs. Kevin, my man, you are doing amazing work. You are doing amazing work. It is so good to have you on this show.
Thank you, man. Coming from you, I grew up watching you, so... Thank you so much.
You are doing exceptional work, and it is so good to have you on the show. Let's be sure we do it again soon, Kevin. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Romy. I appreciate that. And shout out to all you NHL fans that watch us on the NHL Network, too. We love you. We appreciate you.
My man, you got it, Kevin. Great job. Really well done. Kevin Weeks, that was an exceptional conversation. An exceptional conversation. And I don't know that I've heard anybody speak as eloquently about that tragedy as he just did. All right, telephone number is open. It is toll-free. Hockey fans, now is the time to call. Don't wait for me to make my prediction. You can respond to anything you just heard right there. 1-800-636-8686. It's toll-free. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I'm pumped up. What a great conversation that was. Kevin Weeks, 11 years in the NHL. Falling into bed has taken on a whole new meaning ever since I started to sleep on my Casper mattress. Their engineers have created an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience. Get one and you will understand why. It is the internet's favorite mattress. Casper has created three unique mattresses to help you sleep cool and comfortably year-round. The Wave is engineered to relieve pressure at 36 different points. The Casper mattress is more breathable and comfortable than ever. And the Essential mattress is innovation at a great price point. All of them are designed to coddle and comfort your every move. And they all provide perfect support for every position that you sleep in. So find out why Casper has hundreds of thousands of happy customers like yours truly. Try your Casper mattress for 100 nights in your own home with free shipping and returns. All you do is go to Casper.com, use the code Rome, save $50 on the purchase of select mattresses. Once again, Casper.com, code Rome, save $50. Terms and conditions do apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I want to say that Kevin Weeks was revelatory. It's a good, strong word. Look that up, Hawk. Revelatory. Good luck spelling that, Hawk. I would say that it was revelatory, or that he was, but it's not, because I watch him on NHL Network. He's great. He did not bring anything here that I don't see from him on TV, which is why he was here. But that was so good. And his commentary on the way the hockey community and really the entire sporting community, the international community, responded to the absolute tragedy involving the Humble Broncos, I thought was so good and so poignant and so spot on. And he said the thing about those bus rides was the human connection, that we were all together and that we'd stop off at Blockbuster and decide, what are we going to get? We got to get our movies for the ride. We got to get Beverly Hills Cop. You know, I can only say this. Southern California is way more of a hockey hotbed than you would ever imagine. I mean, we actually went through it for a little bit. My two kids both play baseball, club baseball. Jake plays high school baseball. But Jake had this one little thing with hockey for a little while. And you might think that I'm not speaking from a place of credibility, that we don't know here. Obviously, we do. You've seen the success the LA Kings have had. You've seen the success that the Ducks have had. San Jose, a factor in the postseason. So we do know hockey here on the West Coast. We know it in Southern California. I can even say for a moment, when Jake played hockey, he literally skated with Scott Niedermeyer and Chris Pronger's kids. So we have that here. I understand that. But in terms of the culture of getting on a bus and bonding, hockey aside, isn't that a big reason why we put our kids into sports in the first place? Literally, the reason I stuck a bat in both of those kids' hands and a glove for each of their hands was not because I thought my kids had any shot at being major leaguers, or not because I thought, hey, this is a way for me not to pay for college. It was because I wanted that experience. I wanted those kids to be on the bus. I wanted those kids to be a part of something. I wanted those kids to bond with other kids. I wanted those kids to connect. So in a sense, even if you're not about hockey or junior hockey, we know this, right? We put our kids on these buses. We put our kids together to have these moments. And to have something like that happen was literally like the worst thing ever. And that's why I'm so pleased to see the entire sporting world, literally, internationally respond. And that GoFundMe account's raised over $8.5 million for this. I mean, Kevin Weeks, who played in the NHL for 11 years, said that after that story, he had trouble sleeping. He was having nightmares. That's how catastrophic that was. That's how deeply ingrained it is in the culture of that sport. And I talked about Clint Malarchik. I had an amazing conversation with him yesterday. In fact, that's our podcast. It's already up. Look for that. I want to reset that as well. We're talking a lot of hockey today. I'm pumped to talk hockey. The Stanley Cup playoffs getting underway. My prediction upcoming. Before I go to break, quickly, a couple of tweets. At Michael D. Ryan 20 tweets, not really a hockey fan, but Kevin Weeks is freaking amazing. What a passionate man, especially about the tragedy. Jungle karma will forever be with that man. Lisa Doust tweets, Kevin Weeks just brought me to tears. Great interview. Hashtag Stanley Cup playoff. At Phoenix Tree Rat on Twitter, fantastic segment with Kevin. He covered exactly what the hockey community is all about. Well done. Hashtag Humboldt Strong. At BStock25 tweets, damn, drop a tongue, Jim Rome, after that epic interview with Kevin Weeks about the NHL playoffs. War Penguins, three-peat. War, three-leave. Paul Williams tweets, Jim, Kevin Weeks is absolute gold with his takes. Great interview. I love the NFL, NBA, and the MLB, but you cannot top the NHL playoffs. Drop the puck. That's my take, essentially. I love all those things. Love every one of those leagues, but I stand by it. There's nothing like the NHL postseason. And I thought I was curious, too. He said exactly what I always say. Before you push back, before you say you don't know what the hell you're talking about, Rome, I'm going to tell you, watch one of those games. And don't watch it for 5 minutes. Don't watch it for a period. Watch a Stanley Cup playoff game from beginning to end, and you'll see exactly what I and what he are talking about. This email says, hey, Rome, let me take a stab at this whole NHL Stanley Cup prediction thing. I think I can nail it. Here it goes. The winner of the 2018 Stanley Cup will be America. Signed the last 25 years. And now it's on. Now it's officially on. Matt in Poland Springs, Maine. And one more email. Rome, I am so impressed by your NHL Stanley Cup predictions over the years. Not only do you never miss, but you always make your pick while under the weather. You can tell because your voice is always going in and out and high and low. Obviously, you're not feeling your best. Great job, Romy. Looking forward to this year's pick and get well soon. Unwar adults who hold their ears when an ambulance goes by. Adam in Seattle. You're right, man. I'm playing through it. I am playing through it. I play hurt. I don't take sick days. And I always seem to get sick this time of year. I don't know what it is. Spring fever, something in the air. And one more, Rome. Just come out and say it, man. After yesterday's show, you got in your sled, you rolled down to the local psychic kook for your weekly palm reading. While you were there, you obviously hit them up for some NHL takes. Warhawk coming back to the studio from that chiropractor honk with a gallon of snake oil and a year's supply of incense and a new pan flute CD. Jed in Illinois. I don't know how it went, but dude's got a roll of paper towels that he's applying to his lumbar. Wow, Hawk. At least you didn't go to a strip mall for it. He did. He did. All right, we're coming right back. You've waited. It's your turn. Get in here. Call your shot. My prediction's upcoming. Nate McMillan, Indiana Pacers head coach, in hour number three. Tons still to get to. Having a good Wednesday. First things first, time for a sports update. If you're waiting on that, here it is. Email contest brought to you by Zipa. Snoring is disrespectful and it's offensive. You need to stop. Get a Zipa right now. Make everybody happy. Zipa is 100% guaranteed to work. ZYPPAH.com. Zipa.com. As part of the podcast with Clint Mlarchik, which I'll get to, and also my Stanley Cup pick I've got to get to. But as part of that podcast, if you haven't heard it yet, the voicemail made it through the week. And one of the guys on the voicemail said something to the effect of, Rome, you burning Hawk is gold. I could listen to nothing but that all day long. Burn Keep it up. And the thing about Hawk is, it's just so easy. And I'm not even trying to. Like, to me, it's not good sport. And as I mentioned yesterday, if you know anything about this program, I have not spent a lot of time on this show cracking back on the XR4TI. One, it's lazy. Two, no offense, fellas, it's easy. And three, I got a job to do. That's not part of my job. But Hawk now... Hawk's a different bird, if you know what I'm saying. He's a different bird. He showed up here as a hawk. Within 2 weeks, I downgraded him to sparrow, and then he was pigeon. And he's now become a thing on this show for any number of reasons. And the latest reason being, he was all hyped up on the Masters because, one, he's a big golf guy. Two, he's an enormous tiger honk. And three, it was going to be the best weekend of his life. So he wakes up and his wife says, hey, honey, please, can you not go to the driving range? Can you just sleep in with us and hang out, you, me, and the baby? And Hawk says, nope. I'm going to go hit a few golf balls, get ready for the Masters. And she says, I'd prefer you not, Adam. Nope, 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 nope. I'm going to do this thing. He does this thing. He goes and he throws out his back trying to put a shoe on. Literally left work early the other day because he was in so much pain. He had to get the hell out. So yesterday he goes to a chiropractor. I'm not going to go back to the old school take on chiropractors and the fact that they may or may not be doctors. The fact that they're at the mall offering free medical exams with their bent pens and rolling around their bones on wheels. I'm not going to go there. It's tired. It's old. It's played. You know where I come out. That was a long time ago. And by the way, it works. If it works for you, fine. That's great. So Hawk is in immense pain. Alvin says to me during the last break, dude, look behind you. Look behind you. And I swing back, you know, because we are on TV. It's a TV simulcast on CBS Sports Network. I swing behind me, and there's a picture of Hawk. If you're watching on TV right now, look at Hawk. He's on the floor, on his back. I'm looking for blood. It looks like somebody pumped a burning slug into him. He looks dead. Look at Hawk. And that's not Hawk being funny because he's not funny. That's Hawk literally trying to get right after throwing out his back, putting on his shoe. Look at it. And Hawk says, Alvin, I mean, that's filthy. And Alvin's response was something along the lines of, dude, if you're going to lie down at work on your back, I mean, don't think somebody's not going to get a picture of that. Is that what you said, Alvin? Something like that. I said, Alvin, did you tweet that? He said, nah, dude, I didn't tweet it. But don't think I'm not going to get a picture of it. I mean, dude. Look at this idiot. He's on his back at work. On his back at work with a roll of paper towels. So let's see what we got here. Rome, did Hawk's doctor, chiropractor, prescribe him paper towels? What's next? Will the doc give Hawk some crooked brooms to act as crutches? Toilet paper rolls so he can roll out his back at home? Damasio in Albuquerque. Dear Rome, if Hawk feels better, you're welcome. If he doesn't, it's because he needs 15 to 18 more treatments. Signed, the chiropractor. Stephen PHX, Ward being able to call yourself a doctor because you know how to twist somebody's back. All right, again, I'm not going there. I'm not going to get into that whole thing about chiropractors. If you're in pain or you're out of alignment and they help you and you swear by it, great. Great. Man, I am mature. This is how responsible I am. Listen to that take. This one says, hey, Hawk, you went to a strip mall chiropractor? Come see me the next time you're in the area. Actually, scratch that. I will just aggressively seek you out. Regards, cell phone kiosk guy. Geoff in Lincoln. War Hawk becoming standing desk guy. All right, Adam, you've already got the headphones on. It's a good idea. All right, talk me through it. Number one, how are you feeling today? Number two, how did the visit to the chiropractor go?
Thank you, Jim, for having me on and for caring. Number one, I feel a little bit better.
I didn't say that I cared. I just said, how are you feeling?
Feeling a little bit better. Thank you for asking. Not the instant relief I was looking for. The visit to the chiropractor, disconcerting to say the least. I spent a great deal of time yelping it. I found the guy with 5 stars in my neighborhood. When I pulled up, I had noticed that I had driven into a strip mall, and the chiropractor's office was situated between an Irish pub in which
Hawk, what'd you expect this guy to have, like this high-rise building overlooking the beach, ceiling to floor glass? He's a chiro.
I was hoping at some point I would get into an elevator of some sorts, but...
All right, so you're on the ground floor.
Oh, yeah, right off of the main drag.
Give me an idea about this strip mall. What stores were surrounding this doctor office?
Yeah, there was an Irish pub to the left where 4 gentlemen were outside smoking cigarettes at 4:30 in the afternoon, and there was a liquor store on the right, so I just had to shoot in between those two. And go see my doctor, who introduced himself as Dr. Joe, which...
Dr. Joe.
Yeah, I prefer my doctors not to introduce themselves like uncles. I'd like to hear a last name with a doctor. But nevertheless, Dr. Joe very quickly went through the paperwork that I had pre-filled out and took me back to the room, which was behind a...
He's a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a judge. Yeah, and I'm an astronaut. Yeah, I play in the NFL, Hawk. All right, so Dr. Joe.
Yes. Thanks, Joe. Nice guy. Really okay. Nice guy.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Probably a great salesman.
He was. He took me to the room. He, grabbed like a fake spine that he had and gave me the whole spiel for, a good 29 minutes. And then we finally got to the adjustment part.
How long was the appointment?
The appointment was 30 minutes. 29 was spiel and salesmanship and trying to get me in for visit number two with my wife. He wanted to see my wife. He wanted to.
Why? Is she in pain?
No, but, an adjustment would do her really well, he told me. And that
preventative medicine.
Yeah. It not only does it prevent back pain, apparently it prevents everything. It prevents the common cold. It prevents allergies. It prevents headaches.
Okay.
So, he did his thing.
He didn't want to work on the baby, did he?
Yes, he did.
No.
He said, why don't you bring in your 18-month-old, and it'll just go a little pop, 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 and it feels really good. The babies love it.
And the babies love it.
Yeah, that's... I just kind of ignored that. And then he...
Will he work on the dog?
Well, it'd be a cat in my case.
Yeah, exactly. What am I saying?
So
is it pop, pop, pop on the cat, too?
I don't know. The whole thing was weird. The line of the day...
Are you sure you didn't see a vet instead of a chiropractor?
At this point, I'm not. The line of the day was he told me, shout out to Dr. Joe, by the way. Nice guy. Just want to throw that out there in case Dr. Joe's listening. He said, your back is like a circuit breaker. I'm just going to open up the breaker, flip a few switches, and just reset everything. And being in radio, I was like, damn, that's a good analogy. I'm all set for this.
That's amazing. So in other words, your back, the human back, is like a laptop. Just unscrew it. Add a little more memory or RAM, and you're back to normal.
It sounded perfect to me. And as he was...
I'm sure it did sound perfect to you, Hawk.
As he was doing
you're Hawk.
It, he was, calling his shot. He's like, watch this accuracy. And then he just, slammed, pop. He's like, got it. And I was like...
Dude, he was talking junk. He was styling his work.
He's like the Steph
like
Curry.
Like a bat flip?
Yes. He was like the Steph Curry of chiropractic.
Did he say man's game, Adam?
Yeah, he did. And his explanation was, if you were to sit
you
down...
You can't guard me, Adam.
If you were to sit down at a piano, you wouldn't smash all the keys at once. You would just delicately play it like Mozart.
He told you that.
Yeah, he was on a roll. It was great. It was probably the 15th time that day he had gone through that material, but it was the first time I had heard it, so it was working on me.
Dude, I like his passion, man.
He's really into it. And once we finished and...
Dude, this must have cost a fortune to get a guy with that expertise and that kind of rap.
Best part of the story. I had texted my wife earlier, and I said, okay, $50 to go get adjusted. I got to do it. I need instant relief. I have to do it. And she goes, no, I want you to go through the healthcare that we have. And I said, I can't wait for an appointment. I'm going into this
guy. Does your insurance cover? Oh, okay. Right.
And she says, how much does he want? I said, $50. An hour later, she texts me, and she goes, I called the guy. I negotiated it down to 30. So don't pay a cent over 30.
Wait a minute. Dude, I knew that we could negotiate the price of cars. I knew that we could negotiate the price of homes. I know that a lot of things are negotiable. I didn't know that we could negotiate the price of medical services. I literally have never gone to my doctor and said, hey, doc, you're the best at what you do. That annual physical that I have, let's talk about that. You can do better, doc. You can do better. You did that. It worked.
My wife did it, so shout out to my wife. Saved me $20, which, by the way, that $20 I can now reinvest into visit
another
number two.
Visit.
Exactly.
Or use it on the baby.
Right.
The baby's small. I bet the baby's only $20 for the half hour.
He's like, an infant falls 1,500 times a month, right? And I was like, well, I didn't know that. I don't keep track. And he goes, that's a lot of wear and tear on the back.
Let me ask you something, dude. Do you ever go to frozen yogurt places?
Yeah, Yogurtland. I love it.
Okay, Yogurtland. Do they have punch cards there? Does he have a punch card where you get your 10th visit for free?
I'm sure he does. I'll find out for you because I'm going back.
Hawk. Yeah, absolutely incredible, man. Shout out to Dr. Frank. Dr. Frank.
Joe. Yeah.
Or Joe or whoever he was. I like this guy. In fact, I hope my back gets hurt. Wow, Hawk. Incredible contribution. Hour number three next.